الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبا القاسم محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الصادقين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، respected scholars, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last of our discussions concerning Luqman and the dialogue with his son, we go to the final few verses, or the final two verses in fact, in the discussion. And the final two begin with verse 18. And they begin by stating, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two verses talks about the importance of humility ahead of arrogance when we bring up our children. And that, as you know, one of the rights of the children in the religion of Islam, amongst teaching them the Quran and amongst giving them good names, is of course akhlaq. And akhlaq has to be embedded from the household, that every step and every word and every action that they see their parents observe, you find that they will come and imitate. If their parents, for example, are arrogant, or they have a touch of arrogance about them in the way they talk, in the way they walk, you find that the child picks up on these things. If the parents have certain opinions, prejudice opinions, bias opinions, racist opinions, the child picks up. If the child, for example, sees the parents on the phone gossiping and backbiting people, child picks up. Even something as small as when you tell someone who has come to visit you, how many times when someone phones us or someone has come to visit us, we tell our children, tell them, we're not here. Someone phones, say we're not. Which means what? Which is another lie. And the child learns from this lie that one day I'm going to do that. Therefore you find our children imitate us in our morality. Of course, according to Kohlberg, he had a theory of moral development. Kohlberg used to say that there are three stages of moral development: pre-conventional, conventional, and post-conventional. And when he used to talk about the moral development, he used to say, well, the first period, the child is still getting to grips with the meaning of life. And in the second period, the child differentiates between what is right and wrong. And in the third period, the child then begins to have its own opinions. Likewise, when you look at our own moral development, we have to be careful as this development occurs, that the actions which we portray to our children at home are actions which are building humble personalities and not arrogant personalities. You see, when you look at what he says, he uses a very fine word in Arabic to describe the way you can be arrogant with those around you. He says, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. تُصَعِرْ comes from the root word about the camel when it has a disease in its neck. Camel has a disease in its neck, it may sometimes, you find that it can't pose properly. And that here, Luqman, when he speaks to his son, when he says, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ, means don't turn away your face from the people when they speak, or when you walk. Sometimes there are people, when they walk, their face is looking here, they don't want to look down. And you find here, he says to him, don't turn away your face from the people when you walk. And therefore you find that ulama of akhlaq, when they discuss this, they discuss it by looking at the difference between ujub, kibr, and takabbur. And they say that these are three completely different areas in akhlaq. They say a person who has ujub, or as we say in the Iraqis, we say ajibta nafsa, which means he's self-conceited. A person who's self-conceited, they believe they are the favorites of God. They believe that they are the favorites of God, and that they therefore deserve favors from God. I read Salat al-Layl, I deserve a favor. I fasted in Ramadan, I deserve a favor. I went 12 nights in Muharram, I deserve a favor. And I'm not doing these because you deserve everything. No, I am doing these with the intention that you give me something back. Sometimes this builds self-conceit in the human being, that he begins to only do certain acts of worship, wanting something in return all the time, without seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That self-conceit, a person then believes what? That they are a favorite of God, and that they deserve what? A favor from God, and that they should be rewarded. They don't wonder, is my Salat al-Layl, have I read it in the right way or no? No, I should be rewarded for the Salat al-Layl. Or my Hajj, I've gone all that way, I should be rewarded now. Sometimes the thought comes inside of that, surely I'm going to be rewarded for coming to Hajj. That thought should never come. The thought that should come is, Ya Allah, accept whatever I have given in Hajj, although it is not complete. There's a difference. There's one type of person who acts the worship, but there is a self-conceit that, look, I'm doing this really nicely, I should be rewarded, and I must be now a favorite of God. No. When you look at the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, what do they say? أَنَا عَبْدُكَ الضَّعِيفَ الزَّلِيلِ الْحَقِيرِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Never once you find them saying that I am your great servant, and therefore I deserve to be... I am your lowest servant, your poorest servant, your worst servant, your sinful servant. Why? Because they are trying to represent to us that never should this ujub come inside you, where because you are being religious, you begin to think you're better than that. The second is kibr, which is different from takabbur according to the ulama. Ulama say kibr is when you have an inner feeling of pride. Inner feeling of pride. Why do we become proud? Some of us become proud because of our wealth, that we've amassed a great amount of wealth in our life, or we've amassed a wealth which is greater than what's around us, because everything is relative. You may have amassed a wealth of $10 million, you are greater than those around you. Then the one in Paris has amassed a wealth of $100 million, he's greater than those. Then the one in America has amassed a wealth of $1 billion, he's greater than those. Then the one in Russia has amassed a wealth greater than 10 billion. He feels he's greater than all. The reality is, however much arrogance or pride you feel when you are wealthy, there is always one who is more wealthy. And however high you go in the stages, you will find that who is the ultimate ghani? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anta al-ghaniyu wa ana al-faqih. You are the rich and I am the poor. One of the reasons a person shows pride is wealth. Another is education. I studied at this university. Where did you study? Now that's normally a nice question to ask if you are inquiring about your different pathways and how you achieved your degree. But there are some who ask it to try and lower the position of the people they're speaking to. I was at Oxford. Where were you? Now obviously then the only way is down. Because if you're not at Oxford, well, if you're lucky, you're at Cambridge, otherwise... I was at Harvard. Where were you? Sometimes this arrogance begins in the house, where our mothers and fathers are flying so high in the sky that their child got themselves 62% and the 2-1 degree, that they start telling the whole world about it. Now here, the first area of kibr is what? Kibr, remember, is the inner feeling that because you've had good wealth or good education, inside you're feeling you're better than everyone. You still haven't expressed it outside. Inside. You go and sit in your place in the mosque, there's someone sitting next to you, This person keeps on moving. Inna takabbur is what? Or kibr is when a person sitting sees this person moving, thinking, why do these people even come to the mosque? But he doesn't say anything. It's just inside. Or a person sits next to someone who's poor, moves his trousers a little bit just in case they get a bit dirty. But he doesn't tell the person that he thinks he's greater than him. No. Time of Rasulullah sitting down, a poor man walks in, sits next to this man who moves all his clothes. Rasulullah said, you thought his clothes are going to give you sin? Or they're going to lower from your wealth? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this. Let me give that man whatever money he wants. The man said, if his money is going to make me have akhlaq like this, let him keep his money. Kibr is the inner feeling. Takabbur is the manifestation of the feeling. You don't just feel inside you're better. You will actually tell people you're better than them. I am more wealthy than you. Who are you to speak to me like this? I'll finish you off like this. How many times in our communities since the year 2000 have I heard of wealthy members who actually threaten their members in the community that if you mess about with me, we'll finish you off? In our own Shia communities, if you mess about, our wealth will finish you. That's takabbur. Other takabbur is, I am more religious than you. I've been, for example, president for 59 million years. And you haven't even been a member of this community. Or, for example, I know all the hadiths, you don't know anything. But this is what? This is manifested. There's one form which is kept inside. That's kibr. Takabbur is when I manifest the action. I actually begin to say that I am definitely better than you. And that's why when you look in the Quran, you find that pride actually comes in four areas. You either show it towards God, or towards the creatures of God, or towards God's commands, or towards God's saints. If you look in the Quran, the first piece of pride that is shown, or arrogance that is shown, is by whom? The arrogance towards God. By whom? Shaytan. In Surah 2, verse 34 of the Quran, when you look at the wording, there is very interesting aspects that emerge from his arrogance towards his Lord. And it's the first type of takabbur, which is towards God. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. We said to the angel, prostrate, اسْجُدُوا. There are two types of sujood in Islam. One type of sujood in Islam is known as the sujood of worship. And another type of sujood in Islam is called the sujood of obedience. For example, Yaqub's sujood to Yusuf is sujood of obedience. The angels pay their sujood towards Adam, sujood of obedience. Because if it's sujood of worship, that's shirk. Therefore, it's the sujood of obedience. Our sujood to the Kaaba is in reality a sujood of obedience and worship. Because in one way, our Lord asked us to prostrate towards the black stone as a sign of obedience and worship. Therefore, you find here what? You find here that Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. Iblis was, of course, of the jinn. And he was in the company of the angels. Imam in Nahj al-Balagha has a beautiful line about him, where he talks about how Iblis had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with two ruk'ahs of prayers for 6,000 years or more. But that one piece of arrogance brought it all down. 6,000 years. Some of us 10 years, we think we're great. Others of us 25 years, we think we're great. 6,000 years, Allah is giving an example that perform as many religious acts as you want. The moment that there is arrogance towards our way, they are all nullified. Because with every religious act should be humility, not arrogance. 6,000 years you are worshipping your Lord, but one moment He wanted to test you. And even Iblis said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya Allah, don't let me do sujood to him. Why? Because of the fact that he said, you created me from fire, you created him from clay. He said, don't let me do sujood to him. And if you don't let me do sujood to him, I promise you, I will do sujood to you forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, sujood to him is obedience to me. You are telling me you only want to worship me. The true obedience is going through him to reach me. And that's why you find that when you see the confrontations Iblis is involved in many occasions very arrogant. For example, there is a moment in history where Prophet Jesus meets Iblis. He says to him, Iblis, why don't you ask Allah to forgive you? I know my Lord would forgive you. Iblis doesn't reply to him. Prophet Jesus then goes towards whom? He then goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ya Allah, if Shaytan came to ask you for forgiveness, would you forgive him? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, I would forgive him. If he asked, I would forgive. When Prophet Jesus went back to Shaytan, he said to him, Shaytan, my Lord promises you, if you ask him for forgiveness, he would forgive you. Shaytan said, let him ask me for forgiveness first, then I'll ask him. Now that's arrogance. That is arrogance. That's why one day there's a discussion between Iblis and Prophet Nuh. Prophet Nuh says to Iblis, says, look Iblis, with all the actions you have done, why don't you now come and ask for forgiveness? Your Lord is all forgiving. He said, how would I be forgiven? He said, go and do sujood to Adam's grave. Adam has now passed away. Do sujood to his grave, Allah will forgive you. He said, I didn't do sujood to him while he was alive. You think I'm going to do sujood to him now that he's dead? Pure arrogance. That's it. Arrogance. And it's manifested. It's takabur, not kibr. Kibr, he would have kept it inside. The moment he said, and even the verse is interesting because it says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ indicates that even before the moment of sujood, before the test, he was already a disbeliever. Ulama say, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ He was already a disbeliever. Why? There are ahadith which state that when he used to walk past Adam, when Adam was being fashioned, when he was being created, he used to walk past and actually grimace. He would say, who would ever come and do obedience towards a person like this? Because he was fire. So to him, his qualities were the highest. And as we said, there is a belief that because he is fire, he can't be burnt in fire. And we said how Abu Hanifa, Bahlul, threw the clay on him. Because Abu Hanifa used to say, Shaytan won't burn in fire because he's from fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish any of his creation and make the fire either become cold for some or become burning for others. Therefore you find the first type of takabbur is towards God. The second type of takabbur we find in the Holy Quran is towards the prophets of God. First in history was towards God. The second is towards the prophets of God. If you look at the way the people of Nuh treated him, you will know how arrogant people could be with their prophets. And when you read the words in Surah Nuh, the words are unbelievable. In Surah 71, verse number 7 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us the story of the people of Nuh. Nuh had given da'wah, tabligh, to his people for 950 years. So obviously, you have to be patient with them. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَنْذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ We send Nuh to his people that you should warn your people before a punishment comes to them. He came and he warned his people. But then he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that however much I warn them, you find that there's only a small amount of them who even come. So he said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Ya Allah, I invited my people in the daytime and the night. Highlighting that tabligh is not something just for the daytime. Tabligh can occur at 4 in the morning or at 3 in the afternoon. It depends on how a person fashions their life. There are some people who in the daytime serve Ahlul Bayt and in the nighttime serve Ahlul Bayt. And we'll look at it in the majlis tonight. So then he says, فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا افْتِرَاءً. My call just increased them moving away from me. Then he talks about how arrogant they were towards him. Listen to what he says. This is the second time of takabbur towards the prophets of God. وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَرَشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. Every time I call them towards you, جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ, that whenever I done tabligh towards them, they would literally put their hands and their fingers in their ears. Then, وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ, when I'd speak to them, they'd actually put their cloths over their faces so that they would not listen to my words. Number one, جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ can be also takabbur metaphorically, not only literally. With Nuh, it was literal. They would actually do this. He would speak, they would do this. Sometimes in our communities, a person doesn't need to do it, but he's not listening. Sometimes a person's arrogance is not that he has to go like this. You are advising, there's no listening, just go like this. وَاسْتَرْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ, they would actually get their clothes and cover their faces, or their ears. We don't want to listen to you. Quran then says, وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. They would persist in this, and they would act with the worst of pride, the highest of pride. وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. That's the second type of people that they show takabbur towards the prophets of God. Then you find the third type of people who are those who show takabbur towards God's commands. Meaning Allah tells them come and pray, they don't pray. Allah tells them come and fast, they don't fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them come and ask for forgiveness, they don't even think about asking for forgiveness or performing any tawbah. That's why the Quran describes in Surah Al-Munafiqun how a hypocrite, when Allah opens the door of mercy towards him, all he shows back towards Allah's mercy and Allah's command of forgiveness is arrogance. Surah 63, verse 5. And look here in every one of these verses how Allah uses the word kibr or takabbur. In Surah 63, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the hypocrites. And in verse 5, when he speaks about them, he says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْ يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When it is said to them, come, Rasulullah will ask for forgiveness for you. لَوْ رُؤُسَهُمْ وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ لَوْ رُؤُسَهُمْ وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. When it is said to them, come, Rasulullah will ask for forgiveness from you. What do? They turn back their heads and they turn away from you while they are the arrogant ones. Imagine Rasulullah, how merciful he was. That the hypocrites who were around him, Rasulullah would come to them and he would say, I will ask Allah to forgive you. Allah is opening the door of tawbah for you. This is one of the proofs of wasila in the Quran. Some people say tawassul is haram. Why? They say we go directly to Allah, there's no need to go through a prophet. So why here in the Quran does Allah say if they had gone through our prophet, we would have forgiven them? Wasila. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالُوا يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. that Rasulullah can ask for forgiveness on your behalf, then why say tawassul is haram? But they would turn their heads, and the Quran says, وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. However much the doors would be open for them to ask for forgiveness, you would find them being arrogant and obstinate. The fourth type of people who show arrogance in the Quran, or the fourth type of arrogance, is the arrogance which you show towards God's creatures. God, towards His Prophet, towards His command, the final ones towards His creatures. When you act arrogantly with fellow human beings, and this is shown beautifully if you look at Surah Al-Ankabut, or if you go to Surah 28, even verse 39, there's a nice discussion on it which speaks about there's a beautiful discussion in Surah Al-Qasas on it as well. In Surah 28, verse 38, which showed Fir'aun's arrogance towards the creatures. Fir'aun showed arrogance in many ways towards his creatures, and even towards God. Actually, Fir'aun fits all four categories. One human being fits all four. He showed arrogance towards God by saying, I am God. He showed arrogance towards the Prophet of God by fighting him. He showed arrogance towards God's commands. He would never go on sujood to anyone but himself. And he showed arrogance towards God's creatures. And one of the ways he showed arrogance towards God and his commands and his creatures and his prophets is in verse 38. وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِي. Oh my people, you have to laugh when he says it. He says, oh my people, I don't know for you any other God but me. So why are you wasting your time? I don't know any other God but me. That's why in another line he says, قَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. And that's why you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's something beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks to Fir'aun, when he speaks to Musa, he says to Musa, speak to Fir'aun in a soft voice. Nabi Musa asked why. He said, because he brought you up for the first 15 years of your life, respect him. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to respect, that the one who calls himself God, Allah says, remember the fact that he brought you up. And he made everything ready for you. Here, he says, I don't know any other God for you to worship on me. But, in the back of his head, there was an arrogance towards God's creatures and towards God. So do you know what he did? فَوْقَدْ لِي يَا هَامَانُ عَلَى الطِّينِ فَاجْعَلْ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَىٰ إِلَهِ مُوسَى وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. He said to Haman, Haman was one of his chief advisors. He said to Haman, get all these creatures, all the dirt that we have, the slaves and so on, get them. I want them to build for me a tower so that I can meet the Lord of Musa and kill him. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَظَنُّ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يُرْجَعُونَ. Him and his soldiers were arrogant without any truth, and they thought they would not be returned to us one day. Why? What did he do? Haman, they would enslave innocent people to do the work. Alhamdulillah, these days we have technology. In those days, manpower. Hence, they built them one of these, have you seen those like rotating towers? Like the ones you see in Babylon. They built and built and built and built, and the building would continue, and thousands of lives were lost. You don't have lifts like today. A guy falls from the top. Have you ever wondered, when you've been to Manhattan, have you ever seen when someone's cleaning the glass windows on like the 900th floor? And you're looking at them and you're thinking, I don't know how you do that. Because if you look down, I don't know how you don't fall. But you imagine, at least this guy has some sort of support. When Fir'aun and Haman were building their tower to kill God. To kill who? God. There were people dying day after day. Arrogance towards the creatures. Arrogance towards the commands. Arrogance towards the prophet of God, Musa. Then when he gets up there, he says, give me an arrow. So they give him an arrow. What do you want to do with your arrow? I want to kill the Lord of Musa. Shoots the arrow. What falls down? Blood. Says, look, I built a tower so high, and I have killed the Lord of Musa, for the evidence is the blood. Of course, he didn't know that there was a pigeon flying by. The poor pigeon, it's gone out to get its meal for the day. Fir'aun shot, it died. Blood came all over him. He thought it's the Lord of Musa. Where was the Lord of Musa? The Lord of Musa made you drown and you were begging for forgiveness. That's why we say that the only one who can be arrogant is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlaya ya Mawlaya. Antal mutakabbir. Wa anal khashi'. Wa hal yarhamul khashi'. Illal mutakabbir. One of Allah's names is this. Why? Because you should only be arrogant only if you are not in need of anyone. But we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are wealthier than everyone, but Allah is wealthier than all of us. If you are more educated than everyone, Allah is more educated than all of us. If you can stop yourself from dying, there is only one hayy, alladhi la yamut. Alexander the Great was once traveling with his army. They came near a man who was in his prayers. They waited and waited. They said to him, are you going to move? He said, I want to continue in my prayer. They said to him, this is the army of Alexander. How dare you not move? He said, I only worship one Lord, no one else. They said to him, where did you get this philosophy? He said, can Alexander the Great stop me from dying? He said to him, no. He said, can Alexander the Great change the position of any of those stars? No. Can he bring me only happiness and no sadness? No. So why should I turn to anyone except the Lord that created him? And tell mutakabbir, that's it. The only one who has the right to be arrogant is the one who does not die, and the one who is not limited, and the one who does not sleep while his creatures are asleep, the one who, when the ant moves in the darkness of the night, he knows its movements, and the one when his creatures speak to each other in front of each other or behind, everything is recorded. The only one who is allowed to be arrogant is whom? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Luqman says to his son, وَلَا تُصَعَّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And don't walk in the earth exultingly. Sometimes you find, and I really want to see how many of you agree with me on this. How many times has there been a moment of pride which comes inside you? Just a moment. It comes inside you, then you trip over on the pavement. It's happened to me. I don't know how many of you it's happened to. Just a moment. Nothing too serious. You haven't thought you're great. No. You've just thought, for example, I've done very well in this business deal. I think I'm better than most in this job. And you just trip over on the pavement. And you get back up again. And you see the human being looks around. I hope no one's looking at me. Or sometimes the arrogant one walks doing tawaf. And then you know those birds upstairs. When they lay down a bullet towards you, you're not arrogant anymore. Likewise, we find, he says, don't walk in the earth exultingly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَهُوَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has people he loves and people he does not love. The ones he does not love are whom? Are the self-conceited boasters. These people, Allah does not like them. وَقْفَدْ فِي مَشِّكَ وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Be moderate when you walk. You have some people, he's walking, you would think he's walking on gold while we walk on pavement. Relax. What's wrong with you? Someone pumped your body that day? What's wrong? And some people, their parents even tell them, you are better than everyone in the community. You think he's going to walk in humbly to the mosque? Quran says, Luqman said to his son, that part of humility is the way you walk. The way you walk. Walid ibn al-Mughira would walk and never look down. Because he said, that means I'm looking at something lower than me. See how the human being can become? That he died, as we mentioned in our majalis last year. He died because a splinter came in his foot. But he was walking and walking and walking. He was so arrogant, he didn't want to take it out. But this splinter caused a deeper wound, infectious wound. He still wouldn't take it out until he got home. He was just about to take it out, his maid came into the room. And he was scared if he bent down and his maid saw him bending down, she would think he'd become humble. So he stayed up. There's a splinter killing you. The Arabs would not pray salah because salah means this spinal cord has to come down. How dare we come down? No way! Abu Sufyan, come down? So therefore you found Walid ibn Mughira, he waited and waited, the maid hadn't left, he fell asleep. He fell asleep, this wound has gone deep and infectious. The wound killed him. The wound killed him. Because he walked all the way home with a splinter which is on his foot. He wouldn't cure it. He wouldn't do anything. The wound kills him. Therefore you find he says, when he says to him, waqsid fi mashyik. Waqsid means what? Waqsid means be economical in your walk. I don't want people walking to the mosque like this. Nor do we want people walking like that. Normal. Waghdud means sawtik. There are some people, when they're coming to the mosque, he shouts from one end of the mosque to the other. Where are you? Come here, let's go. There's not 30 people between you. Walk up to the person and say to him, let's go. Sometimes you find those who's laughing very loud laugh. You find those who are shouting to each other. Allah says, Luqman says, إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. For the worst of voices, or the most unpleasant of voices, is which one? Is the braying of the asses. Al-Himar, the donkey. I'll tell you, I was in Egypt recently, there was one donkey, it was making noises, I don't know what had happened to that donkey, I'll tell you. And when it was making those noises, I was thinking to myself about this verse, I was thinking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was right. That the worst any of you who've been near the pyramids will know that there are horses you can ride, and you can also go, for example, on all these bikes, but there are also donkeys which are around the town. There was one donkey making noises, Allahu Akbar. God save the windows. Why does Allah say the worst of the noises is that of the donkey? One opinion is that, well, I don't tend to agree with this opinion, but one is that the donkey constantly sees shaitan. And another is there's no reason. And a third is that apparently every animal does tasbih except the donkey. These are different opinions. Whether there is a reality or no, our point about the donkey is what? That the donkey's voice is the worst one. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that his own human being, the donkey has an excuse on the day of judgment. He said, Ya Allah, you didn't give me aql. Or it wasn't as perfect as the human being's one. The human being coming and shouting and screaming and laughing loudly. No. He says to his son, be moderate in your voice and be moderate in the way you walk. That's why even around Rasulullah, his own companions, the people you would think would be loyal to him, raised their voice in his company. Quran, in Surah 49, verse number 2, Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah speaks to the companions and says, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet. One narration says there was a man who was deaf, so he would always speak loud. But then when you look at other narrations in history, it's ironic. Do you know where this verse is today? Who knows where the verse is written today? This verse, don't raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet. Who knows? Who could think, where would it be? Yes. In Medina, Prophet's grave on top. And it's ironic that it's there. Because sometimes history brings back the actions of certain personalities next to them. You see, there's two points about this being written. Don't raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet. They tell us that the man in the grave is dead. There's no need for you to come near him. Well then, why are you advising us about something? If he's dead, our voice will not affect him. Number two, when you study the history of certain personalities, the very ones who sometimes get prominent positions are the ones who used to raise the voice. It's so ironic that the verse is there, because it reminds me all the time about those who called the Prophet delirious on his deathbed. Rasulullah says, give me a pen and paper. They say, you are delirious. Quran is enough for us. And the hadith under the calamity of Thursday says, they were raising their voices so loudly, Rasulullah told them, leave. Your voices are being raised. Therefore, Luqman taught his son the importance of humility in all aspects of life. And hopefully these discussions have been beneficial. For today was the last one. Of course, tonight and tomorrow is our final majalis in the evening. Tonight and tomorrow. But today is obviously the last of the afternoon program. And we hope that these principles can be instilled into the lives of our children. And I hope that these DVDs which are made can be taken on board, especially for all newly married couples and those who are expecting their first child, to possibly take from the wisdom of Luqman about the type of areas that should be covered when you bring up your child. For he covered Tawheed, and he covered obedience, and he covered sin, and he covered Salah, and Amr bil Ma'ruf, and Nahi anil Munkar, and Sabr, arrogance and humility. And therefore, with this type of syllabus with our children, we will look for children who will become servants of our 12th Imam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma anna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. Tu'izzu biha al-Islam wa ahla. Wa tudhillu biha al-Nifaq wa ahla. Wa taj'aluna fiha min al-du'ati ila ta'ah. Wa al-qadati ila sabir. Wa tarzuqna biha karamat al-dunya wal-akhir. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملناه وما قصرنا عنه فبلغناه. I'd like to thank all of you for coming to the afternoon majalis, and hopefully we can continue this trend next year. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.